And for me, it was the first time that I felt loved, accepted, and I share this with you because I was very lonely and new in a city, and nobody invited me to church. The only invitation I got was to this EST event, and I took it.
Not the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story, and it's a reminder that each of us in our own lives, individually, personally, are seeking the point of our life. Why are we here? Meaning for our life. We may not even articulate it that way. We may just fill our lives with so much activity, so much busyness, anything to kill the noise in our head or the questions that go on. But ultimately, we want to know why we're here. Today, we're going to try to answer that question for you. What is the point of your life?
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a husband, father, and granddad, best-selling author, counselor, and coach, and your advocate for the family. Have you ever wondered, what's the point? Why am I here? Joining Randy today is executive coach Elaine Morris, who kind of took the long way around to find her purpose. If you've found yours or are still looking, call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. I'd love to hear from listeners all over the country, maybe even around the world listening online. Share with us if you've been on a journey, maybe in your life, trying to find the meaning of life and why you're here. Tell us a little bit about what you've discovered and why you're here. You know, I think we look at Solomon in the Old Testament, and he's pretty clear that love God, fear God, and do what he says is the ultimate outcome. I know that everything we're to do to bring glory to God and enjoy his presence, and it all flows out of a love because God loves us so much. That's the purpose of our lives. You're going to hear the journey of Elaine. She's going to join us here in a little bit, and we got some other help for you during today as well. As we focus on what's the point of your life, let's get intentional, thinking a little more deeply today from the Intentional Living Center. If you have a question or comment or story you want to share, give us a call, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com.
And since listening to your radio station, I wanted to just say that my entire life has changed. I have a different opinion and a different attitude towards, you know, how I run my life and manage my life. The intentional living is that I recognize that God has blessed me financially and spiritually with my family. I think the intentional living part for me is that I'm finding ways to give back to my community and making that an intentional part of what I do every day.
You know, whenever you take time to call and share your story, we take the time to listen. And in fact, many of those will show up, your stories will show up on the air here or online with one of our clips that we put on our website. So keep them coming. We appreciate hearing what God's doing in your life, how you're choosing to get up and live intentionally in him. You can call 888-888-1717. Got a great story coming from Elaine Morris from Texas, and she's been on a journey in her life, ultimately leading to Christ and now helping other people. And Elaine, nice to meet you, and welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you, Dr. Carlson.
And we were talking a little bit before we came on the air about your journey, and I said, hey, hang on, I want to get this on the air because I think others can relate to this sense of trying to find meaning. We talk about finding the point of our life. Why are we here on this planet? And it sounds like you've been down that same path. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, well, just to give you a little background, I'm Italian-American and was raised in New York in a Catholic family. And we were sent to Catholic Church across the street. We lived across the street from the church, the convent, the rectory, and the school. But my parents never went unless somebody was getting married or confirmed or communion, you know. But my sister, I had an older sister, Janet, that always took me to church and loved Jesus as a little girl. But, boy, as soon as I hit adolescence and the choice between going to church or going after boys, you know, that was I was on the path for pleasure-seeking. And this is the 60s, you know. So I quickly got away from the church, and in college it got even worse. I studied transcendental meditation, did yoga, took a lot of philosophy classes, and I was really searching very intentionally, find what would bring me a life beyond what I'd been raised with, because what I saw, what my family was like, they were good people, but I wanted something more.
Were you finding anything encouraging in all of these pursuits of these different isms and experiences and groups and so on?
Yes, I mean, there was stimulation. There's a lot of intellectual stimulation,
yeah.
But it still left me kind of empty.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got out of college, and by the way, while I was in college, I was trying psychedelics, and I was on the street in Boston one night with a bunch of friends and met somebody from Scientology. Mm. And so I even had a little taste of Scientology. They took me to their center, and then when I got back home to New York, I started going to their center. But after a few months of Scientology sessions, it felt kind of weird. It wasn't quite right. But later, when I went to Dallas, and I moved to Florida, and then I moved to Dallas, I got involved in EST. And I don't know if you remember mm-hmm. EST from the 70s and 80s. It was big in California. It's actually all over the world. But by the time I got to Dallas, I was already divorced by the time I was 29 years old. I'd finished an MBA program. I was struggling in my career. And here I was in a new city. And all the things I'd searched through, nothing was giving me any satisfaction. Mm. And one day, I was selling insurance, and a client gave me a ticket to an EST event. Mm. And since I didn't have many friends or many places to go, I went. And for me, it was the first time that I felt loved, accepted. This was an exciting, seemed transforming. That's what it promised. And I share this with you because I was very lonely and new in a city, and nobody invited me to church. The only invitation I got was to this EST event, and I took it, and I ate it up with a spoon. In fact, for the next year or two, I did every seminar they offered, and I wound up going on staff full-time for the next 4 years.
Wow.
And I led their seminars, and it was all about transforming the quality of your life. It was all about, it's actually based on Zen and Buddhism and the power that you have within you, and you can choose your interpretation of things. And although there were a lot of good messages in it about taking responsibility for your life and having integrity and values, it was all generated on your own power. Hmm. There was no God in it.
After a while, did that just sort of wear out in your life? You realized that it was not fulfilling?
Well, yeah, at first it seemed very powerful, and I loved the community of people. They all seemed like good people, and everyone was, you know, there to live lives of fullness, you know, and richness. But when I got behind the scenes, as I was working for them, they were verbally abusive at times. Now, I have to say, we have churches and businesses also where you have leaders that are verbally abusive. You know, we mm-hmm. have human beings everywhere where people have their flaws. But really, behind the scenes, I started to get very discouraged and disillusioned because it was all about getting more enrollments into their seminars. And, you know, it started to ring hollow. I was getting very overworked. So I eventually left that organization and got married. But it wasn't until a few years later, where my marriage was very, very broken, that I was sharing with my sister one day on the phone what was going on. And meanwhile, I have a sister who was praying for me all those years while I was in Scientology, while I was in EST, while I went through a divorce, while I went through a second marriage to a man that she knew would be a difficult marriage. And I was finally like running out of things to seek after, to fix me and to make my life better. And by now I had a small child, and I was in a marriage where it was very, very painful. And my parents had died by now. My parents had been ill during those years, and both my parents died. So here I was in my mid-30s, had tried everything, and was still actually coming to a lower and lower place in my life. Hmm. So one day I decided to call my sister in New York, who had been praying for me all these years, my sister Janet, and she listened for about an hour while I was downloading my sad story about how things were just not working, and I felt trapped in this marriage, and I had this little girl, what was I going to do? And she just listened very patiently and calmly. And at the end, she said, would you like me to pray for you? And I said, sure. And I was thinking to myself, knock yourself out. You know, I knew she was a holy roller. And I knew, you know, that was not what I needed. But I let her anyway. She prayed. And in that moment, in the midst of her praying for me, something in my heart just awakened. And I felt so loved and cared for, and it was so different than anything else I'd ever experienced. Mm-hmm. And so for the next several months, I would call her every Friday morning before my daughter or husband woke up, and I would tell her kind of what was going on and the counseling we were going through and all that. question at the end, I would always look forward to when she'd say, would you like me to pray for you? And every time I'd say, yes, please.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a powerful story. Hold on for a minute, Elaine, because we've seen this journey. And, you know, just to make this statement before we get back to Elaine's, what's happened in her life, obviously, something transformed here, transformation. You may be on your journey today of some sort. I don't know, maybe an ism that you're trying to follow, maybe just trying to fit in, and maybe you're captivated by your emotions, or you've been overtaken by a relationship that's overwhelming you. And, you know, we keep coming back here at Intentional Living to the point, what's the point of our life? And that's really what Elaine's saying. She got to the place where she had tried all the points and they didn't satisfy. And we're going to see what God has done in their life. Hang on, we'll get back to Elaine's story here for encouragement today on Intentional Living. The letter D in the word leadership, we have a responsibility to disciple followers. When you use the word disciple, which is not a word that we use commonly in our interaction with other people, you could really write down next to disciple that discipleship is really training. And we are commanded in our families to train up our children in the way they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. Training is an important part of good leadership. I think many times when it comes to being a leader, we sometimes can bark out orders and we think that's leadership. Good leaders come alongside their followers and help them, train them, encourage them, help them get back on their feet when they fall down, keep that vision in front of them, and encourage them in the process of their lives. Discipleship, the letter D in leadership, which, by the way, is the teaching for this month. All members, you should have your teaching on CD by now as I take you through these steps of what it means for self-leadership, how to be intentional in leadership. Next month, we're going to take a very biblical view of what intentional living is and the power of God's Word that unfolds. What does it mean to live intentionally when the Bible focuses on so many things like marriage and parenting and family? What's the basis of that biblically? And we're going to give you some really practical stuff next month. So if you're not a member, come join us every month so we can come alongside of you and mentor you. If you'd like to know more about that, we got Dawn stopping by to tell you how you can join up right now, Dawn.
Dr. Randy, just want to say thanks. Stop by for a minute or so and just say thanks to the people that are making intentional living really practically possible on a daily basis, whether it's on the radio or out in the community with the Love Your Marriage Nights or the people who call and purchase a product or a resource. When you're a member of Intentional Living, you really help make all of that possible.
Mm-hmm. For instance, Veronica recently joined us from the Phoenix area, and Michelle from St. John's, Michigan, north of Lansing, joined in support and receiving the monthly CDs now and a part of this family. And God bless you for your support, and I hope you're finding encouragement from the teaching.
Now, this next teaching, I have to say, I missed it when you taught it live and in person, but when I came in that day, because you teach it in front of our whole staff, the staff was buzzing about this teaching.
That's good.
And so I'm excited. I did just listen to it a few days ago for the first time, and I'm so excited to get that into the hands of our new members and our existing members, because it's really going to, I think, unwrap some things that maybe you haven't thought about for intentional living.
Well, frankly, it was some new things to me as I studied and prepared for this lesson to understand that belief to behavior is all about the book of Ephesians. Take what we believe and how we live in our marriage and family. It'd be a very practical teaching.
Excited to get that teaching out to you, and we'll do that when you become a member today. Just go online to find out more, theintentionallife.com. Again, it's theintentionallife.com, or call our ministry center during West Coast business hours, and that number is 888-888-1717.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate that. Good reminder. We're going to get back to more of Elaine's story here in just a little bit and hear the good news. But I invited to come in the studio here with us for a few minutes, Dr. Todd Lindemann, who's right here in our own building, in fact, but he has his own work as a psychologist and coach. And I thought he could put a perspective on this thing of when you have someone you love in your family and you've taught them all the truth and they kind of go off the deep end in whatever direction they take in life. Todd, welcome.
Thank you, Randy.
What do you do? I mean, how do we as Christian families respond when we got someone we love who's kind of going off on something, some tangent in their life?
Well, first of all, one of the most painful things to watch is a family member, someone you care about and love, go in a direction that's not consistent with how they were raised or what you believe is really healthy for them. And it's often a very emotional time. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, the error people make is that they operate out of emotion, and that emotion is often desperation. And desperation drives us to over-pursue, to try to control, to appear as though we're manipulating. And one of the goals we need to accomplish is to not do any of those things, but rather to stand firm and to recognize that this is an adult. And we do care about them, but the truth is that people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And so you want to hold your ground. Emotionally driven decisions are the ones that we usually live long enough to regret. So we sometimes need to love them from a distance. I recommend that people go on the record, and that means being open, honest, direct with their thoughts, their feelings, their needs, and then let that adult family member make their own decisions. Stand firm. Don't cross the boundary into over control, into enabling, but rather let them know that you're there, you're praying for them, and you trust they will make good decisions. Now, that's assuming this is a healthy or relatively healthy adult who's not challenged by mental illness or a very significant addiction. If that's the case, then we got to make sure they're not a danger to themselves, to others, or gravely disabled.
Exactly.
And if they're in trenched into an addiction, then it would be wise to get assistance with regard to perhaps how to have an intervention, confront them with the truth. And sometimes it means taking them lovingly, encouragingly to treatment or helping them to see the need for treatment. And so if a person keeps those things in mind, they're probably going to be helpful with that family member.
Very good advice. Very practical, Todd. And I think as well, remembering this is a spiritual thing as well, could be a real spiritual battle going on in their lives. And we don't wrestle against people, the scripture says, but evil. And so pray that God will intervene in the lives of your loved one. Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
I'll let you get back to your wonderful work next door here.
You bet.
Dr. Todd Lindemann stopping by here on Intentional Living today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. If you haven't joined our Facebook family yet, it's a great place to find individuals who also want to live an intentional life in Christ. Go to theintentionallife.com today. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Christ. Coming up, Randy and Elaine wrap up their conversation, so don't go away. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Falling in love again is completely possible.
He sends me a text every morning and says, I love you, have a great day, I was thinking of you.
You might just learn to be intimate again.
We love each other today more than we did when we were married.
Passion, fun, romance. Those are words you'll suddenly use to describe your marriage. The Intentional Living Center presents the fun, interactive, engaging Love Your Marriage Night with Dr. Randy Carlson.
As soon as I heard about it on the radio, I went and purchased the tickets. So here we are, and we're having a great time.
You and your spouse give 100% to everyone else, and your marriage suffers. That's why you need to take a night for yourselves and learn to love all over again during the Love Your Marriage Night with Dr. Randy Carlson, coming to Warner Robins, Georgia, Friday, September 13th. Also coming to two locations in the Phoenix area in October and three locations in Michigan in November. For dates, locations, and to register, go to theintentionallife.com.
You have a story. Something really interesting that God has done in your life. Something wonderful and amazing. Or you have a story you want everyone to know so they don't walk down the same path you've been down. You have a story, and we'd like to hear it. You can write us on Facebook/intentionalliving, or you can talk to us through our website at theintentionallife.com. Click on Contact. Talk to us today, and you never know. Maybe we'll hear your story soon on Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. If you'd like to find out more about our guest, Elaine Morris, just go to our highlights page at theintentionallife.com. You may find additional testimony, more teaching, and information about the ministries and works they're involved in. So go to theintentionallife.com. And hey, our lines are still open, so give us a call. It's toll-free, and don't forget all those eights. 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717.
From the Intentional Living Center, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Today we're hearing Elaine Morris, and she's just articulating a journey that many have taken, maybe not in the same places she's gone with all the things she's been searching for significance in life. But for you, it may have been pleasure. Maybe for you, it's been just to fit in or get along or any number of things that we can go after. And we keep coming back to the fact if we don't know the meaning, if we don't get to the point, if we don't understand the reason behind why we do what we do and who we are, it makes life more difficult because then we look at different things trying to find it. And Elaine has shared her journey to the point of prayer and her sister and this changing, your heart was starting to change and warm up toward something very significant in your life. Elaine, tell us what happened as a result of that journey you were on.
Yeah, so for a number of months, my sister and I would pray every week, and finally one day she sent me a student Bible. Now, I had never opened up a Bible when I was growing up as a Catholic. We had little missalettes and things, but I had never actually seen the Bible. And I started reading out of God's Word, and she gave me a student Bible where you had, you know, little tracts, and I was fascinated by it. And interestingly enough, I found scriptures in it that I had heard Werner Erhard say in Est. He had said things like, to whom much is given, much is required. And we thought he originated that. So this Est cult leader was actually using words that Jesus said and saying it was his. So I started to realize that my Est background, as much as there was some good that, you know, came out of it, good training and good values, it was really a counterfeit for the real thing. And yet those words lit up my heart when I heard them.
Mm.
Yeah, so I went back to New York to visit that October. I remember very clearly sitting outside with my brother-in-law, Janet's husband, and he said to me, and we were outside actually smoking a cigarette together, and he said to me, so Elaine, I hear Janet's been sharing the Bible with you, and you've been reading it, and I said, yeah, I really love it, and it's so new to me and so comforting to pray with Janet. And he said, would you like to receive Christ? And I really didn't know what he was talking about. And I didn't know that there was a, you know, receiving process that you go through. And he said, would you like to say a prayer right now and really express your love to Christ and ask him to come into your heart? And I said, sure. So we put out our cigarettes, and he grabbed my hand and prayed the sinner's prayer over me, and I accepted Christ.
Mm.
And at that very moment, my sister comes outside. She hated the fact that he smoked, you know, and said, what are you guys doing? And I said, I just received Christ. And she said, you're kidding. You know, meanwhile, she'd been, of course, you know, witnessing to me all year, and he got to do the clothes, which is kind of funny. But from then on out, she's been my prayer partner, and it started a whole new journey in my life. And I, you know, talk about intentional living. I have a practice of my time with God every morning, and I have to stay in the Word and start my day with God every morning. And I do a lot of journaling and reading a devotional, and the journaling and the connection with Christ every day is what keeps me strong. I've learned that self-power is not it.
No, that's
willpower
true.
Is overrated.
That's right. Well, Elaine, those who don't know, you now work with others. You work with executives and as a leadership coach, and you specialize in an area of helping people see the power of emotional intelligence, not just IQ, but what's been referred to often as EQ, the emotional relationship with others. So you've always been a person in pursuit of helping, learning, growing, and you've been through all the things that many people growing up in the 60s and 70s went through to try to find ultimate significance. I would ask you, for someone listening today who's still on that journey, has this been real in your life? I mean, truly real and transformational in all the areas that we know our faith should be?
Oh, yeah, in terms of what it touched, absolutely. Because when I finally surrendered, Christ's power transformed little by little. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, we're in this sanctification process. You know, first he was working on my emotions and then my relationship with my husband and my daughter. And as I faced each journey, and this was now 23 years ago that I received Christ, God has little by little, some dramatic ways and some smaller, slower ways, transformed every area of my life, even my work. I do a lot of work with leaders and I'll give you one example, just my ability to have confidence with senior-level leaders, for example. In the past, when I was working with someone who is very senior-level, and sometimes they can be a little, you know, arrogant and self-important, there was a fear in me that would be intimidated. And once Christ changed that in me, knowing that his strength is greater than any fear I can have, gives me such a new level of confidence where it's not confidence in myself, but it's confidence in who's backing me up, who's really running the show.
And that's a key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really knowing that.
Yeah.
Well, Elaine, listen, it's been good to get to know you today on the program, and you've articulated very clearly your journey and your story and what Christ has done in your life. And here at Intentional Living, we always believe that there's at least one person who's going to get it. They're going to hear it today, and they're going to say, that's my journey. And I would just say to them that if you don't know Christ and you would like to know him personally, you'd like to meet the one that Elaine has talked about, we share about here on the air every day, you too, right this moment today, can accept him into your life. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Why God chose to do it this way, I don't know, but that's it. And it's a matter of faith. We don't always walk by sight. We walk by faith, the scripture says. And we have a free booklet for you at our website talking about that first one step, that first step in your life. And you can stop by theintentionallife.com and download that for yourself to read more about what it means to know the Christ of salvation of all eternity personally for yourself. So, Elaine, thank you for sharing your story, and you keep up the good work that you have with what you do as an executive leadership coach.
Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Dr. Randy. I just want to say I love your show. I think what we overwhelmed ever since I started to listen to your message, how my life has changed, how I became a more understanding parent versus, you know, before not having enough patience because there was not enough to go around. And my life, again, has changed as well as my children, and we just couldn't be happier. I thank you so much for blessing us each and every day.
We're glad to do it. Thank you for telling us your story, and we'll be praying for you. Coming up this fall in Georgia, across Arizona, and three locations in Michigan will be the Love Your Marriage Night. It's a date night for you and your spouse to get away from the noise and busyness of the family and spend a night talking about intimacy goals and love habits in your marriage. It's going to be a great time. You want to divorce-proof your marriage? Come and spend an evening with us. And you can check it out at theintentionallife.com. Tomorrow, if you don't like your daughter-in-law or son-in-law all that much, we're going to help you think that one through intentionally from the Intentional Living Center.